All right, I've got two volunteers that are going to come up and help me this morning get started. So Nate and Jeff, if you guys will come up. You might remember back, I'm asking you to reach a little bit far, but the Sunday after Thanksgiving, so back in November, before we started Advent, if you guys will grab them and just set them up, we finished the sermon, we finished the message that day with this illustration. And so I wanted to take you back there for the purpose of reminding you, okay? And so Paul in Colossians, if you have your Bibles, you can turn to Colossians chapter 3. Okay, that's where we're going to be. Right about there. That's good. Okay, now, that's good. Okay, now just hold it, okay? And don't let me fall, okay? Balance is not a strong suit in this one. All right, so what Paul is talking about in Colossians chapter 3 is putting off the old self and putting on the new self. In fact, if you look in Colossians chapter 3, verse 5, he says, "Put to death, therefore, what is earthly in you." Right? Put to death what is earthly in you. And then in our verses today, verses 12 through 17, he's going to say, "Put on then." Right? And so what we talked about is how so many of us, right, we try to play the balance, right? We try to play the balance of wearing and putting on our old self that Jeff is representing, because he had the boldness and the audacity to wear a Bills jersey to church this morning, right? That there's an old self there. You knew it was coming, okay? That there's an old self, right? That is part of us. Right? It's part of our story. It's part of our testimony. Right? So many people say, "Oh, if you only knew, you know, who I was before I met Christ, tell somebody." Right? That is the most powerful witnessing tool that you have, is the story of where God brought you from, how he showed you your need for him, and then what he's been doing in your life since to rid your desires of the things you once gave your life to, that dominated your life, right? And so this ladder over here, the Bills jersey, represents our old self, right? And as we grow and mature in Christ, we go up a step, but it gets harder. The balance gets more difficult, right? And then we keep going, and all of a sudden, right, it gets harder and harder to balance, because we're still trying to please our old self and grow in Christ and put on this new self. And so what I told you back in November, and what I wanted to remind you of this morning, because it's where Paul picks up, right where we're going to pick up. We did four Sundays of Advent, and then we've been kicking off the new year, 2024. And so we're diving back into Colossians this morning, where we left off Paul back then. And what we said was, at some point, each and every one of us have to make a decision. I'm at that point now. I cannot go higher like this safely. Okay, I know some of you are like, "Well, I could." Well, great, good for you. Good for you. Proud of you. Have a cookie before you leave. Right? This is not to compare our... If you're new or recent with us, that is my 50-year-old brother in the wheelchair. Laughing at me. And I know you're not laughing at me. You're laughing at him laughing at me. Can we take him to a kid's classroom or something? He's totally killing this for me. This was not supposed to take this long, Andy. No, he's fine. My mom's over there. "Do you really want me to take him out? You really? I've got to make a decision, don't I? much like each and every one of us, get to the point in our lives where we have to make the decision. The scripture says it. You can't serve two masters. Right? And the Bible says you can't serve God and money. Right? But we can't please our old self and the desires and the things that we used to love and the things that we used to enjoy and the things that used to define us and mark us and dominate us and all of those things. At some point, we have to make a decision and say, God, I'm fully yours. I'm putting on the new self. And so Paul picks up, and this will be on the screens, Colossians 3, 12 through 17. He says, put on then, this is where we're going to be today, this is where we're spending the rest of our time, as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved. Don't you love that? Compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience, bearing with one another. He could have left that out, couldn't he? Bearing with one another. And if one has a complaint against the other, forgiving each other. As the Lord has forgiven you, so you must also forgive. And above all these, put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God. And whatever you do in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father by Him. And whatever you do in word or deed, in anything that you do, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father by Him. See, here's the thing for me. Here's why I think this is so incredibly important for us today. And why I wanted to remind you of this. It's because if we're redeemed, if we're following Jesus, if we're proclaiming Jesus, can I tell you something? This should be the most celebratory time of our week. Even in conviction. Right? Even in conviction, even when we walk out of here and we just feel beat up because we're just like, wow, God just didn't take a break today, right? Like how many of us read, forgive, we must forgive one another, and we're like, I'm out, right? I'm out. You don't know what he did. You don't know what she did. You don't know what they did. And so I'm going to hold on to this anger as long as I can so that it turns into bitterness and it just ruins the rest of my life. Sound good? Right? Even in conviction, even when it hurts, we're called to celebrate it. A lot of you don't know this, and I'm not sharing this for special attention, okay? So don't come up to me afterwards and just be, oh, right, I don't need that, okay? But a lot of you have noticed. You know, one of the most frequent questions I get asked just all the time? Why are you limping? Who said that? Yeah. I get asked all the time, why are you limping, right? I have a really bad knee. I think I'm on my fourth physical therapist in the last 3 years or so. Because everybody tells me, and if you knew the amount of money I've spent on this knee, but they won't replace it because I'm not old enough, which makes a ton of sense, right? Let's let you be miserable for the next 10 years of your life dealing with pain, right? And so that you're a jerk to everybody else because you're in so much pain and you're living on ibuprofen. And anyway, this is not a support group for me, right? But I'm just saying, right? Where was I? Okay, right, fourth physical. And the physical therapist I'm seeing right now is hurtful. Like, just pushes. And somebody else in here goes down. He's over there nodding his head. Like, yeah, I mean, he hurts us, right? And when Russ goes in, and if Russ comes out after me, I know that he's going to be harder on me because he went easy on Russ, or vice versa, right? We just can't catch a break, right? But the thing that he keeps telling me is, is not going to feel good getting better. See, a lot of us feel like when we make this decision, we're told the lie or we buy into the lie that, oh, if I give my life to Jesus, if I sell out to this new self, if I decide that I'm going to commit to putting on the new self, it's going to be rainbows and unicorns. And that's not true. You read this list, put on them as God's chosen holy ones, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts. Now, for those of you that compassion comes easy to, that's great. For the rest of us, not as great. Kindness, humility, meekness, patience, bearing with one another, and if one has a complaint against one another, forgiving each other. That's easy. As the Lord has forgiven you, so also you must forgive. And above all these, now get off the ladder and I'll let these guys sit down. Although it's fun having you up here with me. And above all these, it'll teach you to say yes to me. Put on love. Get this, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you are called in one body, and be thankful. And so God calls us to put on this new self, but he doesn't say it's going to be easy. Don't buy into the lie that it's going to be easy. And so what does it look like? Well, I'm glad you asked. And that's what I want to spend the rest of our time talking about. Can you thank these guys for me? They did a perfect job keeping me safe. We said back in November that obedience isn't something a person just stumbles into. It's a decision, right? It's a decision. It's a decision to put off the old self and to stop playing the balance act and putting on both and putting on the new self that God has designed you for, right? How many of you have ever, maybe you're doing it this morning, right? But you've had a special occasion and you've had to dress for the occasion. Right? You've had to dress for the occasion, right? How many of you did that this morning? You dressed, you put on something special for church. I did that. I wore a collared shirt. Jeff's back there. He did that. He put on his Buffalo Bills jersey. Okay, we got to talk about church attire, buddy. Okay. But you dress for the occasion. Some of you have had events before where you've had to go out and buy a completely new outfit and dress for the occasion. One of the reasons I believe Paul's writings are so popular for the church today is because he's so down to earth. And here in Colossians chapter 3, he talks in language that we can understand. Right? Get dressed for the occasion. Here the occasion is a new self, a life in Christ Jesus, spiritual maturity. And so what he's saying is put on, get dressed for the occasion of being a child of God. That it's a decision. That this obedience is a conscious decision. That I'm not going to get dressed in the clothes of old. I'm not going to get dressed in the bitterness. I'm not going to get dressed in the anger. I'm not going to get dressed in the unforgiveness. I'm not going to get dressed in the things that caused me to live the life that I was living before Jesus saved me. I am going to consciously decide every morning, every moment of the day, that I'm going to get dressed for a new occasion. And so Paul talks about this, and so... four things here. We should put on spiritual clothes that we see here in Scripture that accurately, first, number one, accurately reflect Jesus. Now we see that in the first three verses here, 12 through 14. I've already read it a couple of times, but he says, put on then, right, as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts. He talks about five virtues here in the life of the believer, and the first one is compassion. Right? Which is a heartfelt mercy towards others that reflects Jesus' concern for people. Right? And here's the thing that we've got to buy into as the church of Jesus. For God so loved Summit Church. Amen? But not only Summit Church. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. That means God sent Jesus to die for everyone. God sent Jesus to die for everyone. And so when God calls his people to compassion, that means compassion for everyone. That has a concern that reflects Jesus' concern for all people. A heartfelt mercy towards others that reflects Jesus' concern for all people. So when Paul says you should put on compassionate hearts, what he's saying is you should put on a concern for other people that reflects Jesus. Right? You should put on a concern for other people that reflects Jesus. Not your preferences, not the things that make you comfortable, right? Because here's the deal. We're in a room, I don't know, pastor numbers. We're in a room of about 1,500 people here, right? Right? No doubt that there are people on this side of the room that are better at having compassion towards certain people than I am. Right? There are people right here that are better at having compassion towards certain type of people than I am. Right? Sometimes the most compassionate thing you can do is nothing. Right? Sometimes the most compassionate thing you can do is stay out of it. Sometimes the most compassionate thing you can do is to not say a word because it's not yours. Right? Which is harder for some people than it is for others. Right? Because you know, and you've done, and you've had more experience in that area. And so if people would just parent the way that you would parent, their kids would be so much better. Right? Not necessarily. But Jesus, through Paul, says to each and every one of us, put on compassion. The second virtue that he talks about here is kindness. Kindness is different in compassion in that it's a thoughtful and considerate approach to people that don't deserve it. It's a thoughtful, considerate approach to people that often don't deserve it. So he says, put on compassion, put on kindness. And then he says, put on humility. Humility, an honest assessment of ourselves and a selfless perspective that values others is more important. Then he goes into meekness. Another word for meekness is gentleness, right? A peaceful and unassuming attitude is how you would define meekness or gentleness. And then the last one, which I wish he would have left off the list, is patience. Patience is defined as a measured response to others that shows a confident trust in the Lord. And so in my patience, I have a confident trust in the Lord that He's going to do His work in other people. I don't have to. Which I wish He would just take some time off and let me deal with some people in the way that I would. Right? And so Paul says, getting dressed for the occasion, accurately reflecting Jesus, looks like compassion. It looks like kindness. It looks like humility. It looks like meekness or gentleness. It looks like patience. And then he gets to this capstone virtue. Above all, we're to put on love. Above all, we're to put on love. Because loving others is always elevated as the supreme quality that we as the church are called to demonstrate. Love is the evidence of following Jesus in maturity. You're my disciple, and you'll be known by my love. And so, put on clothes that accurately reflect Jesus. Get dressed for the occasion. You're a child of God. And these are things that should mark children of God. Kindness, meekness or gentleness, patience, humility, compassion. And then the second thing that Paul says is that we should put on spiritual clothes in which we can comfortably rest in Jesus. Now, Can we get real for a second? How many of you, when you walk into your house and you kick the shoes off, right? I wasn't planning on doing that, but it felt pretty good. You kick the shoes off, and one of the first things you do, if you don't have to leave the house again, is you go back and you put on those clothes that you've had for your entire life. And they've got holes in them, they've got paint on them, they smell. But your family loves you too much and knows you're too comfortable to tell you that they smell and they need to be washed because you never wash them because you always want them handy. Okay, maybe you wash yours, whatever, right? But you put on those comfies and you can't wait to get to your spot, right? You put on, right? This is exactly what Paul's talking about for you. That as a child of God, we put on clothes that we can comfortably rest in Jesus in. Look at verse 15. Paul says there, "And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which you were indeed called into one body, and be thankful." Right? And you get into those. We have on Sunday afternoons in the Bush House a mandatory rest rule. You don't necessarily have to sleep, but you can't make noise. Right? And so we get home from church, we put on comfies, right? Everybody kind of goes to their resting Sunday afternoon place and position, and we commence. Such a thankful attitude in that moment. Such a peaceful attitude in that moment. With four kids, I'm not sure our house is ever as quiet as it is on Sunday afternoon. It's amazing. And so the idea of comfies, right? The idea of getting dressed in something where we can comfortably rest in Jesus. In other words, it's easy for our hearts to become filled with tension, with anxiety, with fear. Frustrations can fester, worries can weigh on us, causing us to be characterized as anything but peaceful. But in Jesus, in Christ Jesus, Scripture says right here, we can have peace. His peace can rule or control our hearts as we trust Him and place our confidence in Him. The third type of clothing Paul tells us to put on is in verse 16. Look at verse 16 together. It says, "Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly." Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. I'm done with my comfies, so I got to put my shoes back on. Okay? Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in wisdom and singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God. Look at your neighbor and say, thankfulness. Thankfulness. I once heard a pastor talk about small groups. He was describing his small group ministry. And he talked about it like this. He said, our small groups are these little house churches that get together on Sunday mornings and celebrate everything that God's done. For church people, Sunday morning ought to be the most celebratory hour of our week. Because we get together, we get to come together, we get to celebrate all that God's doing in your life on a day-to-day basis. Even the trials. Because James says in James chapter 1, consider it joy when you encounter trials of various kinds, for the testing of your faith is going to produce maturity. Right? And so even in the trials, we celebrate them. Now, that doesn't mean that someone comes up to you and you say, "Hey, how you doing?" "Well, I've had better days." And you're like, "Praise the Lord! Can't wait to see what He's doing in you." But that can be what you feel inside. But your outside is that compassion, kindness, right, gentleness, all of the things that we already talked about. So number three, Paul is saying, put on clothes then in which you can gratefully rejoice in Jesus. These are the party clothes, right? These are the date night clothes. These are the celebratory clothes. Now some of you shouldn't wear that to church. But when Jesus and his saving work are exalted, get this, when Jesus and his saving work are placed in high regard, the transforming grace of the gospel will stir gratitude in hearts and true worship occurs. And true worship occurs. See, what Paul is getting at here is that our identity in Jesus deserves and demands a life that is marked with praise over criticism. A life that is marked with praise and thanksgiving. So we put on spiritual clothes that gratefully rejoice in our Savior, and our worship must be infused with the truth of the gospel as we promote deeper intimacy with Him, stronger unity as His people, and higher praise to our King. Because Paul says it right there, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God. With thankfulness in your hearts to God. And so, listen, as we come to church, right, as we come and we get to gather, right, this time, from beginning to end, from when Dylan welcomed us this morning to when I'm going to dismiss us here in a couple hours, it is all one worship service. It is all designed for us to worship and praise with thanksgiving to God. As we sing about the goodness of God, as we sing how we are free and we're no longer slaves to the things of this world, but He's set us free. As we sing about how His grace is enough, and as we're going to sing in just a few minutes about how great is the love of God, we're singing the things of God. It's not a warm up to the message. It's all worship. What we're doing right now is worship. Our worship time hasn't ended where we're going to worship in a little bit more. You know, it's all worship. It's a worship service. And so we get dressed in clothes where we gratefully rejoice in Jesus. And then lastly, I love this verse, 3:17, whatever you do in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. This is the action. This is where we get dressed in clothes, where we can actively run for Jesus. These are our workout clothes. Right? These are our workout clothes. These are the clothes that we always tell ourselves in the beginning of every year that we're going to use more in that year. And then we get rid of them. And we find them at Goodwill, right? These are our workout clothes. See, Paul reminds us that wholehearted devotion to Christ stems from our identity in Jesus by directing our gratitude towards our Heavenly Father, by connecting it to such a comprehensive lifestyle, what he's doing here. Right? Comprehensive. Put on these things. Put on these attributes so that you can love one another, so that you can forgive one another. Right? As Christ forgave you, there should be nothing. There should be no wrong that has been done to you in this room, outside of this room, that can't be forgiven when you think about how Christ has forgiven you. We are wasting way too much time harboring anger, frustration, and bitterness. Wasting it. I feel for us in that. Like somehow we are justifying ourselves, holding on to hurt, when Paul simply says, look, as Christ forgave you, forgive other people. If Jesus can forgive you, you also ought to be able to forgive other people. I pray that sets somebody free this morning. What Paul is doing here in verse 17 is he's transitioning into what we're going to get into next week. And let me just tell you, you don't want to miss next week. If you just read ahead just a little bit, just a few words after verse 17, you can see next week is going to be fire. For those of you that don't have a Bible in your lap, it begins with wives. Submit. All of you are like, who do I need to bring next week? I got some people. But that's next week. Paul stirs here. And whatever you, what's that word? Do. It's like we talked about last week. God didn't go to the cross so we could just sit on the bench. God didn't go to the cross so we could just sit on the sidelines. But what he says is, whatever you do, whatever you end up doing, however you end up using your gifts, however you end up having compassion and showing humility and meekness and being patient with other people, however you do it, whatever you do in word or deed, do it all as you're doing it unto Christ. Do it all as you're doing it unto Christ. So we've harped on forgiveness, right? As you're forgiving, you're not necessarily forgiving the person in front of you that wronged you. You're setting yourself free in Christ Jesus from holding on to that thing. Right? And chances are, 12 times out of 10, they have no idea that they even wronged you. Maybe not 12 out of 10, maybe 11 out of 10. But this is where Paul is getting into doing, connecting it to such a comprehensive lifestyle. He intends a spirit of gratitude to take over every aspect of our lives. Now, as we close this down, I want to make it really practical for each and every one of us for how we should live, okay? Anybody ever seen the show Cheers? Okay, good, right? Cheers. What's the slogan? Y'all got to get more confident in that. Where everyone knows your name. Now, in case you didn't know, for 11 seasons, from 1982 to 1993, Cheers was one of the highest rated shows on television. Did you know that? One of the highest rated shows off television. And since and then 1993, for a while, Frasier was a spinoff of it, and it was consistently at the top of the ratings. And what accounts for all this popularity is, I believe, inspired writing, well-drawn characters, all these different things, talented actors, all those things played a part. But I think it's actually something deeper. I think a show like Cheers or Friends, anybody ever seen the show Friends? I'll be there for you. It's coming back. I think there's something deeper. I think shows like Cheers, Friends tap into a deep human longing for community. We want a place like Cheers, where we walk in and everyone knows our name. Right? We want a living room like Friends or the coffee shop that they used to go to and always have the meetups and stuff like that, right? Or we want if you think about Seinfeld, right? We want that friend like Kramer, right? That just busts through the door, and he's always there, always at the perfect time, right? We desire those things. We desire, they allow us, they all show us people who care about each other so deeply that accept one another in spite of their many failings and frailties and idiosyncrasies, and they forgive eventually, right? They share an emotional bond. They're committed to one another. And if you just listen to their theme songs for Cheers, Making Your Way Into the World Today takes everything you've got. Taking a break from all your worries sure would help a lot. We've come a long way with lyrics, haven't we? Wouldn't you like to get away? Sometimes you want to go where everybody knows your name and they're always glad you came. You want to be where you can see our troubles are all the same. You want to be where everybody knows your name. Friends, I'll be there for you when the rain starts to pour. Don't we want that? Someone to be there for us when the rain starts to pour. I'll be there for you. like I've been there before, consistency. I'll be there for you because you're there for me too. And here's the deal. Isn't that what everybody wants? People who care about us, people who are glad when we show up, people who will support us and stand by us in bad times, people who accept us instead of criticizing and judging us, people we can just be ourselves around. I want that. I need that. And so do you. We all do. I've got news for you, right? Good news and bad news. See, the bad news is that cheers and friends, now hold the hand of the person next to you for just a moment, they're pretend. It was nice having you at Summit Church. They're TV versions of community. They exist on a stage. There's not even four walls in those rooms. They're not real. And people love these shows. They tune in every week, or now stream in, all of that, right? Because they desperately want to be a part of that type of community. And they see something in those characters' relationships with one another that they want, but it's not real. And the good news is that it can be real. And I know what some of you are going to think here. You're Pastor Travis. You're supposed to say this, right? You're supposed to believe this. This is what you do, right? And so you can call it naive. You can call it whatever you want to. But I believe that the good news in this is that there's a place where that kind of community can, should, is expected to, and for some of us does exist. And that place is called the church. That's why you can't have couch church. Right? That's why it's healthy. That's why it's healthy. And listen, I know we have a lot of people kicking the tires, okay? This is not to throw stones this morning, right? But that's why it's healthy to be in church membership. Everybody comes to me, what are the benefits of church membership? You know what the benefit is? You get to be a part of a community that you belong to. Right? You get to be a part. Everybody's just excited to be a church member, right? Because they can vote. Don't be that person, right? I think business meetings are directly converse to what we're supposed to be doing as the Church of Jesus Christ. You want proof? Every annual meeting, we have an amazing worship service. We have food. Some that's amazing. Food. And then we come into a worship meeting where everybody shifts into being like angry. Nobody wants to be there. Everybody can't wait for the thing to end. That's not the point. Church membership is a place where you get to belong, where people look for you, where people know you by name, where they see that you were in the hospital last week and they ask you, are you okay? Where they see that you had 15 staples across your head. And they check on you and make sure that you're good. Where they see that you haven't been yourself lately. And they come up to you and they say, hey, you okay? Now, listen, can I tell you something? Because some of you fire back, right? Really snarky, like you're already there, right? Well, that doesn't happen here all the time for me. When's the last time you did it for someone else? Because here's the thing about church membership. Here's the thing about care. It's two ways. It's two ways. It's two ways. Nowhere in Paul's writing here to the church of Colossae, and I promise I'm trying to shut it down because we can smell the crock pots. Nowhere in Paul's writing here does he put the condition, if it's been done to you first, do this to others. Nowhere here in Paul's writing does he say, when you feel like it, as long as the pastor preaches under 45 minutes, as long as they play the songs that you like, as long as they continue to support the ministries financially that you believe in, as long as they have this for you, as long as they do, nowhere in Scripture, not in Paul's writing, not in the writings of Jesus, nowhere in Scripture does he put that stipulation on this. He says, if you are a believer in Jesus, if you are his beloved, you ought to walk in humility. You ought to walk in compassion. You ought to be a kind person. You should be patient. Stepping on my own toes. Got him laughing again. And you should be gentle. That's the expectation of every believer. Not if you feel like it, not if they've been that way to you. You set the bar. You set the bar. I say this every membership class and every base camp. Church is like Amway. That should not start like that, though. You get out what you put in. And if you come and you're one of the last ones in the room and you're one of the first ones out and you come around here for 6 months and then complain that no one ever talked to you, no one ever. You get it? So, in light of that, as we get dressed in these clothes, we dress for the occasion. Community from Colossians 3, 12 through 17. Come on, worship team. I'll do these really quick. Community requires humility in one anothering. It requires humility in one anothering. Considering the person next to you is more important than you. Accurately recognizing your deficiency, right? Recognizing your desperate need for God. See, I believe that's where we all need to start, is that you need to, right where you're sitting, in that seat that you're sitting in, recognize that you desperately need God, and the person next to you probably needs Him just as much. That you desperately need God. See, here's the thing that I'm not sure we've all bought into as church people, as children of God, is that each and every one of us that show up week after week after week, including this guy, has a desperate need for Jesus, has a desperate need for compassion, has a desperate need to spend time with the Father. And so there's humility in one anothering. If you want to look into this in your own time, look at Luke chapter 6. That's where Jesus tells a parable of the blind man leading a blind man that goes really well with this. But number two, community requires peace from Jesus. We're told to have peace, right? C.S. Lewis says this, God can't give us happiness and peace apart from Himself because it's not there. There's no such thing. And so if we're going to live in community, we've got to have humility in one anothering, right? Caring for one another. And there's also a peace from Jesus. And then number three, it's what Paul closes with, that we do it all for Jesus. Community requires doing it all for Jesus, not one another, not even for ourselves, but doing it all for Jesus. And whatever you do, in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father by Him. So here's my question for you this morning. As we close up, here's my question for you. What are the clothes that you need to put on? I asked you this the last Sunday in November. I want to ask you today, are you willing to stop trying to balance your old self and your new self? Are you willing to step over to the ladder of the new self and say, okay, God, I'm going to give you all I got. I'm going to trust in you, which was my word for this year. I'm going to do what Dan said. I'm going to abide in you. I'm going to dwell in your presence. I'm going to long to be in your presence. And then, like Jim said, I'm going to rest in the goodness of God. I'm going to put on the new self. I'm going to do away with the old self. And I'm going to allow God to do His work in me, to stir in me humility, compassion, gentleness, patience, kindness, which I get is hard to be kind when it feels the way it feels outside. But that's why it's got to come from God, because those things don't happen internally or from external things. They come from the power of the Holy Spirit. So today, would you make a decision to say, I'm going after Jesus. And I'm going to do it in community, because it's how God designed me. I can't go after Jesus by myself. I need the help of others. And so God, today, I pray for a deeper sense of who You are and a longing for You. God, I pray for the one, as we spent a lot of time on it this morning, I pray for the one that's harboring anger, unforgiveness, bitterness. Set them free today. As You forgave them, help them forgive others. God, make us kind. Stir in us compassion. Help us to be gentle, loving toward one another, patient. Help us to walk in humility. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.